دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our world, our community with Debbie Amini.
سلام دوباره من خدمت شما شنوندگان عزیز رادیو ایران و خوش آمدید دوباره خدمت تک تک شما عزیزان. دبی امینی هستم به همراه آرمینه کارگردان فنی خوبمون. مهمان عزیزی رو در برنامه داریم، دکتر واهان ستیان که ایشون پرزیدنت و پایه‌گذار مشاوران دووین هستند با هدف توسعه اقتصادی و بهداشت و درمان. ایشون در حال حاضر به عنوان نماینده مجاز و دوست و متحد دولت ملی سرخپوستان همکاری میکنن، فعالیت میکنن که بتونن بهشون کمک‌های لازمه بهداشتی و اقتصادی رو برسونن. قبل از اینکه به آگهی‌ها بریم، در قسمت اول برنامه سوال من از ایشون این بود که به عنوان یک شخصی که در ارمنستان تا 11 سالگی بودن و بعد مهاجرت کردن به آمریکا و بعدها به کالیفرنیا، چطور شد که علاقمند شدن به اینکه به سرخپوستان آمریکایی و به قبیله‌های اونها کمک بکنن؟ و ایشون فرمودن که به نوعی میشه گفتش که یونیورس، این دنیا، شاید ایشون رو در جریانی گذاشته که بتونن این خدمات رو ارائه بدن به خاطر نوع شغلی که داشتن در قسمت خدمات بهداشت و درمان، سراغشون رفتن، ازشون کمک خواستن و وقتی که رفتن از نزدیک دیدن که در توانشون هست که کمکی بکنن به این افراد و تغییر رو ایجاد بکنن و این کار رو انجام دادن که بسیار هم خرسند هستن و بعد در ازای اون الان تونستن که از طرف این قبایل سرخپوستان هم در واقع به عنوان یک سرخپوستی که اداپت شده و وارد خانواده اونها شده قبول بشن، به ایشون به عنوان نشان اطمینان پر عقاب داده شده و بعد از اینکه چطور این برنامه میتونه جالب باشه برای ایرانیانی که دارن به برنامه گوش میدن، فرمودن نه تنها تا به حال ایرانیان بسیاری کمک کردن به خدمتهایی که ایشون دارن به سرخپوستان آمریکا ارائه میدن، بلکه امیدوار هستن که بعد از این هم باز کمک ها ادامه پیدا بکنه. کما این که هر وقت که ما توی جامعه خوبی زندگی میکنیم به هر حال خود ما هم از اون نفع میبریم. و بعد اشاره کردن که بسیاری از این سرخپوستان وترن هستن، افرادی که قبلا در ارتش بودن، برای دفاع از این کشوری که ما داریم توی زندگی میکنیم جنگیدن و وقتی که کمکی میشه به این افراد، در واقع قدرانی هست از کسانی که دفاع کردن برای این مملکت و برای اینکه ما امروز زندگی خوب و راحتی داشته باشیم فداکاری هاشون رو انجام دادن. باز من اگر که چیزی بین صحبت ها یادم اومد و یا اینکه فرصت داشتم که ترجمه بکنم حتما خدمتون ارائه خواهم داد. از کتابی هم صحبت کردن که نوشتن به اسم Language as Fingerprint، زبان به عنوان اثر انگشت، که باز من دوست دارم که راجع به اون هم بیشتر صحبت بکنیم. ولی قبل از اون دوست دارم ازشون بپرسم که چه گروهی از شما ایرانیان عزیز که امروز شنونده این برنامه هستین میتونین دست به دست ایشون بدین، کمک های خودتون رو برای قبایلی که آقای دکتر ستیان دارن کمک میکنن ارائه بدین، کما این که این خدمات لزومی نداره که به صورت افتخاری یا والانتیری و مجانی انجام بشه، میتونه به صورت یک شغل خوب و درآمد هم بهش نگاه کرد در این حال که دارین خدمتی رو ارائه میدین و واقعا عده بسیاری رو میتونین براشون سلامتی بیارین و زندگی بهتر، ولی میتونین به عنوان یک ممر درآمد هم بهش نگاه بکنین. حالا باز من ازشون میخوام که بیشتر توضیح بدن چه افرادی. Dr. Setian, first of all, welcome back to the second part of the program.
Thank you.
And I want to start this part of the conversation about what group of people from our audience members would be able to join you in this great cause to help. I assume doctors, perhaps those who have their expertise is in medical fields like clinic and etc. But with details, if you can tell us what we can do to help, that would be great.
Of course. And I, again, Debbie, thank you very much for the opportunity and thank you for your people in spending the time just to listen to my message, just because it's such an important cause. And I think that people with their hearts in the right place would agree in some of the things that I say. To answer your question, actually, I can give you a few examples of why your community can help. And in December of last year, I received a letter from the White House, from the Biden administration, supporting my cause, and that they would help me in getting my ideas incorporated into their decision making to make healthcare, you know, for all Americans a little bit better. And it was a huge honor for me because a response came back after I described them of all the horrors that I see in Native country and also in healthcare altogether, because it's not just the Native country that the American people are suffering. It's in the rural communities and areas where healthcare cannot be reached in time, so people are kind of suffering and dying in pain with no solution. So, and also, this is not just an idea. I have had and also have the experience of great organizations and people walking the walk and approaching and also embracing this idea of collaborating with one another to help, and actually it's actually working. For example, you know, speaking of, you know, the Persian community, you know, in the Armenian Persian community, for example, Brand Surgical Institute and the Hope Community Clinic in Indio, which is run and headed by Angela Sambalian, you know, she has been one of those individuals who have stepped up and said, you know, what can we do? How can our clinics assist all the underserved communities and the veterans and so forth? Mm-hmm. And you know, in other words, you know, she has that capability and also the heart for this to go through and to help, to actually help the people. And I've seen the results, and it's extraordinary. Even helping one person to feel better, or for us to provide these healthcare services for them, we already have done our job, and we are serving as an example for other organizations and people to do so. So that's the reason why I kind of created my own website called, you know, vahansetian.com, to make it easy for people to reach out and see how they can contribute to this great cause. Even the chairman of the Asian American National Committee out of Washington, Tuan Nguyen, he is also in our team. You know, we have James Pat from Inside Health, who has been consulting the White House on IT development. You know, they're also in our pack. Mm-hmm. The chairwoman, Pam Phat, and she's also part of this. She's part of the Vietnamese American Chamber of Commerce. Now, even Las Vegas and Nevada is involved. I mean, I'm working, collaborating with the Nevada Governor's Office on Economic Development. So this message is radiating to all these different governments and large organizations for them to actually have the awareness of what can be done. So from the Persian community, I think that, you know, we have extraordinary capability. You know, I know their capabilities. They've been here for a very long time. Most of them have been very successful. You know, we have, you know, minds and also hearts in the right place for them to put in the work. I know that they are very, you know, they're very technologically savvy, and they have great doctors out there that work in all these hospitals. They're able to bring in the resources and the personnel for us to provide local services for them. Veterans in the community, they also need the help. The VA is unable to accommodate all the needs of the veterans. You know, we can start with the veterans. You know, we can kind of help the Native Americans and all the tribes. So I see this as a global effort to really help these people from dying. The news doesn't cover this, but they are going through a genocide right now.
Oh my goodness!
You know, they had hundreds of millions of a population in the United States, you know, before Columbus came, and now there's only 4 million left. So instead of going through a direct genocide, now they're dying because of lack of health care, economic stagnation, and nobody is talking about it. I mean, I have seen grandma hitchhike her way to see her own doctor on the reservation, 30 miles away, and then she dies on the way, and then the snow covers her body, and then they find her body, you know, like 30
days. Oh my God, I can't even believe this is happening in America.
Yes, like, it's not happening
right on the corner of us.
TV. Yeah, and the thing is, we're not even talking about Bangladesh. You know, we're talking about Arizona and California and, you know, South Dakota, Nebraska, you know, in our own states. I have seen you know, situations where a six-year-old child has cancer and she's dying in the middle of the lobby of a hospital and there's nobody to help her. There are reports of women having children in the bathroom, in federal hospitals, you know, a federal program that receives $5 billion a year since 1960. That's almost $500 billion.
So you weren't really kidding when you said the government is only pretending it's helping.
Well, of course, because the federal government actually needs them to be killed because they want their lands.
They want their what? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Their lands.
Their lands, okay.
Yes. So if they die off, then the federal government takes it away. So in other words, you know, we have a serious problem, but because of lack of advertisement to this cause, they're fending for themselves. So any kind of help would certainly, you know, help them to thrive, at least come to a point where, you know, they can sustain themselves. I mean, there is no excuse for a Native American veteran to eat out of a trash can on the reservation.
I agree.
These reservations are another word for a concentration camp without walls. So they don't know that there are possibilities of better things. That's why many Native Americans are leaving their reservation to go to the cities, which leads to a cultural genocide now, don't you think? Because now they're away from their culture, they're assimilate, and now their medicine men have been dying. The COVID really you know, hit Native country a lot. And in March of 2020, I wrote The Tipping Point, how COVID-19 was going to affect Native country and their healthcare and their economy. I was kind of warning Native country that when COVID hits, it's going to really kill a lot of people because they didn't have the healthcare infrastructure in the first place. So, you know, all these things combined, actually, it should create a sense of urgency for all the communities who are really out there to help humanity, to include Native Americans and the veterans as part of their mission.
I agree. And I just, it's just difficult for me to believe, well, to the extent that you're describing all these things, like they are letting them die just because they want their lands. And it's just happening here in California. I mean, as you said, you're not talking about Afghanistan or Bangladesh.
Yeah.
It's right here in the country. And it's so sad that we don't even know about these things.
That's right, because it's not covered in news or in advertisements. You see, like, we can give a very good example. I mean, we have people that drive to San Manuel, Agua Caliente, and Morengo to enjoy their casinos.
Right.
But beyond that, we have no idea, and we don't even pay attention of how desolate those lands are and how much need there is for economic development for them. Actually, casinos and gaming did more bad to those people than anything good. It created more, you know, more gamblers and alcoholics and so forth. So
maybe that's why it was allowed.
Yeah, I mean, see, the thing is, a Native country took that initiative to tell the world that they have sovereignty and they have immunity and they can create these programs. But there are no really significant other industries that they can go into. So when gaming is closed, for example, during COVID, which happened, there was no other revenue source. So they really suffered a lot. They actually, COVID erased 30 years of their gaming profits. Now they're back to square one. And so now they need to figure out what else to do. So that's why now the tribal members themselves have taken these matters into their own hands. So they're trying to create, you know, economic commerce and trade and to find ways for them to create new economies, you know, for themselves. My good friend Danae Banali from the Navajo Nation, he's running for president of the largest tribe in the United States. It's the size of West Virginia. They have more than 200,000 acres of farmland. Don't you think they can feed the world if they were somehow helped to create those lands into something viable, you know, for the world to be fed?
Mm-hmm.
We're not really short of any commodities or any food. It's just a matter of, you know, allocating properly to be utilized properly. And so Native country can actually help humanity, including United States, by it being, you know, the source of all this goodness that can be harnessed from them, and in a good way, you know, for us to collaborate with them, with their governments and so forth. So I think this is my plea, because it's one thing that, you hear about these things. It's another when a person like myself has lived on the reservation and knows what the issues are. So I'm kind of coming out from the trenches to tell the world of what's really going on. So when I speak of the federal government, I mean the program itself. I'm sure there are a lot of people in the federal government and also in tribal governments who actually want to do good. But the system itself is very counterintuitive. The agenda that's put in place is actually working. It's killing the natives as quick as it can. That's why you have so many disproportionate amount of amputations. Have you noticed that Native Americans have a lot of cut off limbs and fingers and toes?
I haven't. No, why is that?
Yeah. Well, diabetes is very high in the country. So the food that we have is not being digested properly, so they cannot process sugar, so it creates diabetes. But here's the problem. In native country, the doctors make more money to cut off their limbs than for them to treat the wound.
Ouch. Oh, my goodness.
So they're not telling the patient that it's better to treat the wound. They just cut it off because they make more money.
I can't even believe that.
Yeah.
Doctors are swear to do what's right for their patients,
not what makes them richer. Because there is no oversight. There is no oversight. Anything goes in native countries, the Wild West. So we have tried to introduce with physicians a bill to stop unnecessary amputations. And you can imagine how big of a backlash that creates, because you know physicians are there to make a lot of money and they're not really trying to help the native at all. I mean, yes, you do have one or two, but this is what I'm saying. That's why I emphasize the system. The system itself is all rigged, and that's why we need individuals and companies outside of native country that can come in to do the right thing for them. And they do have their open arms, for these kind of organizations. It really depends how you approach. So fortunately, I'm here to act as a bridge for something proper and something legitimate to really come in and to the native, because at the end of the day, it's the native member that suffers.
Dr. Sedian, now that we're on the subject, if our audience members are willing to come forward and help you and join you in this great cause, how would they be able to reach out, you out?
In many ways. They can go to my website, vahansetian.com. There is a contact section that they can email me. They can give me a call through that. They can email me at client@dovenadvisors.com.
You want to spell that, please?
Yeah, it's a client, client at Dovin Advisors, D-O-V-I-N advisors.com. The reason why I emphasize Dovin Advisors is because Dovin Advisors has a history. That company was the company that brought the first terminal illness care program in the nation, to the Navajo Nation. And that organization also has been a mandated, consultation firm. He has been part of, being an authorized agent for their fifth casino development. So as an Armenian, it's very weird, being part of native country gaming development. That's something that is unheard of, but I've done it. So I really have walked the walk, and it's something that I feel good about. So if they can reach out to me, I can connect them to the right parties that we can collaborate and bring in this business. I can give you another example. For example, in South Dakota.
Honestly, since we just have 2 minutes, I want to translate just a little bit, which I'm so, I can't even believe this. I'm forgetting what I'm supposed to say. But دوستان عزیز، چیزی که دکتر ستیان دارن بهشون اشاره میکنن این هست که در همین جایی که ما داریم زندگی میکنیم و به نظر میرسه که داریم در ایالت طلایی کالیفرنیا زندگی میکنیم، سرخپوستان آمریکایی دارن به وضع بدی زندگی میکنن و به نوعی حتی دارن نسل کشی میشن فقط به خاطر اینکه سرزمین هاشون گرفته بشه. یعنی همون داستانی که سالها قبل اتفاق افتاده، الان دکتر ستیان اشاره میکنن که دولت فقط داره ادای اینو در میاره، پریتند میکنه که داره به این افراد کمک میکنه و بسیار افرادی هستند که دارن جون خودشون رو از دست میدن فقط در راه رسیدن به دکتر یا توی کلینیک ها. یه بچه مثلا 6 ساله از بین رفته. اشاره دیگه کردن اینه است که مثلا دیابت، بیماری قند، زیاد هستن این افراد و دکترها به جایی که به اینا رسیدگی بکنن برای اینکه دولت بهشون پول بیشتری میده که مثلا انگشت اینا رو قطع بکنن یا پای اینا رو قطع بکنن، اینا فقط میان دست انگشت و دست و هر جایی که در سر دیابت داره آسیب میبینه قطع میکنن به جایی که بهشون دارو و درمان بدن و متاسفانه هیچ نیرویی هم نیست که بر اینا نظارت داشته باشه و بتونه این کارهای اینا رو استاپ بکنه. بنابراین همین در نزدیکی ما داره اتفاقات بدی میفته که ما میتونیم بیایم کمک بکنیم برای دنیای بهتر. ما هممون بنی آدم اعضای یک دیگرن که در آفرینش ز یک گوهرن. موقعیت بسیار خوبی هست که بیان کمک بکنین، ولی در ازای اون هم حتما درآمد و پاداشی هست که بشه دریافت کرد. پس میتونین تماس بگیرین با دکتر ستیان از طریق وبسایتشون واهان ستیان vahansetyan.com یا اینکه ایمیلشون به اون شرکتی که دارن client@dovinadvisors client که مشخص client at dovin advisors advisors و .com. Dr. Sitian, I just have time to thank you for being our guest today and sharing all these I can't say even wonderful information. It's just devastating information, but we have to know about this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate the time and the opportunity for me to speak. I'm at your disposal. Anything else that I can help with, please let me know. The book, The Tipping Point, is also online as a PDF. People can read just the 40 pages for them to see really what's going on in native countries. So.
Thank you so much. دوستان عزیز، امیدوارم که روز پدر به همگی شما خوش بگذره. روز پدر و قدردانی از پدر یادتون نره. مبارک باشه بر همه پدران و مرسی که در برنامه امروز با ما همراه بودید.